a Frenchman there, Charles Aznavour, singing an Italian song, How Sad Venice, he's actually singing there. Anyway, the Venetian Republic offers a virtual history lesson about the influence of the Venetians on other regions of Italy, Croatia and Greece. Rita Ehrlich asked Chef Nino Zaccali about his new book, The Venetian Republic, which is full of recipes and stories from the shores of the Adriatic, the Dalmatian coast and the Greek islands.
Nino Zaccali is with me. He is the author of a new cookbook called The Venetian Republic, which is a great idea. This is a kind of history lesson in a cookbook, because most of us forget that the Venetian Republic was enormous in its heyday. Nino, what got you interested in the Venetian Republic and its food?
Hello, Rita. Well, something that, you know, my family, father's of Italian origin, but not from that part of Italy, but from my early 20s, Venice has sort of sway in and out of my life through most of my important professional and private relationships. My closest chef friend is actually from Croatia, and in the early days of cooking, we used to cook together, and his name's Ino Kovacic, who's a Croatian cookbook author. He lives in Zagreb now, but in Australia, he would tell me for years and years about how really the cooking of the Croatian coast was really Venetian. I never believed him, of course. 20 years later, end up writing a cookbook.
Yes.
Basically expound exactly what he was saying to me, so I was wrong back then. And then our sommelier in the restaurants in Sydney, in the Strand Arcade, is Christian Castellini. I've worked very closely with Christian for well over a decade now, and we have a very bespoke wine program. We go to Italy every year and we buy wines for the restaurant, and it's right in the heartland, in the Veneto heartland, so really the land-based Venetian area. And he was born and grew up 30 kilometres from Venice, and the actual trade fair we go to is in Verona, so we've spent a lot of time there over the last 10 years. And the last bit of the equation is really my wife, who's of Greek origin from quite a famous island called Ithaca, famous for Ulysses and the Odyssea. And I've spent sort of on and off been going to Ithaca for 20 years. Of course, they were under Venetian rule for, I think, nearly 400 years. So over these years, I've just been with travels and discussions, and it's just the whole concept of the Venetian Republic kept recurring to me, and I thought this is really, really a great concept for a cookbook, because Venice is this magnificent, amazing place that a lot of people have some kind of relationship with, but no one really understands how such an amazing place was built, and how did it come to be, and it really only came to be because of the Venetian Republic, and primarily through their trade and dominance as a logistic of the era for nearly 1,000 years.
That's right.
In the Mediterranean.
And all that coming and going from the Republic gives Venetian cooking a particular flavour. It's very different, I think, from other Italian regions.
It very much is. I mean, it's firmly planted in the north of Italy, but really the influence of the Venetians is huge. And it goes sort of every way. You know, even in places like Greece that were under the Venetian rule. I mean, it's interesting that the Venetians weren't really interested in dominating land. Their dominance came about because they were so good on water, and it's no coincidence that Venice is a set of islands, really, because they were most safe and most comfortable living on water, pretty much. But even when you go down into Greece, and the linkages aren't the most apparent down there, but once you do scratch the surface a little bit, you start to see a massive influence from the Venetians. Places like Corfu, probably the closest place to Italy, like a lot of words as well. A lot of the dishes, abalone, they have there. They've got their word for nougat is mandorlato, which comes from the Venetian dialect word mandorlato, which is a term they use for nougat. Whole insaor, like a fish in Venice, it's called sardine saor, so little sardines fried and then really marinated in vinegar, pine nuts, raisin. That's really seafaring food, because it was a way of kind of preserving freshly caught fish for a while. You could extend the life of freshly caught fish through using vinegar.
That's right.
Sweet and sour fish like is common all through the Greek islands that were under. They call it savoura there, which comes from the insaura, actually comes from the Italian verb in saporire, to add flavour to, the reference being for the vinegar and the other
seasonings.
Ingredients, yeah, raisins and the pine nuts. And it's a little bit different in Greece, but it's there. It's really fascinating. The people that live in these regions, they kind of know the history, but they don't really understand what they do on a daily basis.
That's right.
It is so linked to Venice and where Venice was. Salt cod, for example, was brought from the north to the Mediterranean by the Venetians. It's no kind of mistake that, you know, the daily, you know, some of the most important daily staples in Venice and all through that region, salt cod.
And no one wants to acknowledge that in the past there were people who, you know, the Venetians who kind of ruled them without conquering them, left their language and their food. And national pride would forbid that anyone said, oh, yes, we're indebted to the Venetians.
It's a funny thing, you know, because they'll tell you that they are Venetian up until the point where you start telling them, and then it's like... But, you know, there were things that went both ways as well. There were things that happened on the Croatian coast, which were, you know, it was amazing. There's amazing stuff that goes on there. There's in the island in Greece of Lefkada, which was settled by inhabitants of Burano, one of the lagoon islands in the Venetian lagoon.
Yeah, where they make lace.
Funny thing, you know, because I don't think dominance one culture is ever going to be a completely harmonious thing, and I don't think anyone would say that, but the Venetians seem to be, for the main part, they seem to not really be that interested in dominating people in their lands. They just wanted to buy things cheaply from them and sell them for a lot of money and then reinvest it back into their artistic expression.
Yeah, fundamentally, they were traders, fundamentally.
They were. They came from the mainland originally. They were refugees from the Goths and the Visigoths, the northern, you know, the Italians call them the barbarians of the era. They really came down, and when there was lots of rape and pillage going on in northern Italy, the people from Padova and a few of the towns around there, it was refuge, basically. They joined some of the swamp and sea dwellers there, which have basically made a living through fishing. They became fishermen. They settled the islands. Refugees, basically. But they become very, very proficient fisher people. And then after that, they become amazing boat builders. And then from amazing boat builders, they become traders. They were the sort of, you know, the FedEx, Australia Post, and Amazon of the era. You know, they controlled the logistic. And they became really, really wealthy doing it.
Yeah, they did, too. Tell me something. You grew up in Margaret River and...
Near Margaret River, yes.
Whereabouts did you grow up?
In a place called Bunbury.
Oh, I know Bunbury. Yep, north...
Yeah.
Yep, north of Margaret River.
Yes.
By about half an hour in a car.
Yes.
Now, and then you did economics and Italian at university.
Yes.
What led you into restaurants?
Well, you know, I always say... Some things you choose and some things choose you. It's a funny one because there's not many economists that are chefs, and it's served me very well in my career, I guess. And I worked when I was studying at university doing my undergraduate degree, which became a double degree in language, Italian language and economics. I just was always working in hospitality in bars and worked with some quite innovative and really important venues of its time in WA. And I guess I just always found it really fascinating. I really love the whole thing, the whole idea of taking really raw materials and produce and then transforming them into something that's really, really amazing to eat. And the whole idea of that process for me was always really interesting. And I kind of grew up with it because my dad's a southern Italian migrant, and he joked saying that I used to say when I was a kid, can't we be like normal people and go to the supermarket for our food? Because, you know, my father used to grow just about everything. And it was sort of like when you're a young kid growing up in, you know, Anglo-Australian society, it was kind of like embarrassing. But I look back now with such an amazing upbringing in terms of foods and the whole cultural thing. So I was kind of being trained from a young age. Dad would grow, and he had a small vineyard. So, yeah, just... I kind of went on a scholarship to Italy, studied in Italy, and then I came back to Australia and sort of was accepted into honours programs in both economics and Italian, but I didn't do that because I was sick of being a student, and then I went and helped a friend set up a business in Perth, a cafe, and then within 12 months I had my own restaurant in Margaret River. It was a little bit of a very quick process, and then came to the east coast of Australia and opened Otto as the head chef a couple of years later. And then from there I was cemented into the restaurant industry.
Pretty remarkable, and done very, very quickly. This is your second cookbook, The Venetian Republic.
So the first book called Pasta Artigiana, so artisan pasta, and that really came about because at Pendolino we're kind of big on celebrating olive oil, which is one of the main cornerstones of Italian cooking. We only use Australian extra virgin olive oil because we have access to this extraordinary quality in Australia, and it's some of the best extra virgin olive oil in the world. And the other thing that we do that's really particular is pasta. So we have a dedicated pasta kitchen, and we make dry and fresh pasta, and up to 17 sort of 18 different types of pasta we make a week across the two restaurants in the Strand and the various offers that we have. So pasta was a really big thing, and we're quite well known for pasta in Pendolino. And so we sort of, Murdoch thought it would be a good idea maybe to do a pasta cookbook, which we did, and that really came about because of the restaurant.
That's great. And Murdoch are the publishers of The Venetian Republic.
Yes.
Which is now out. I've seen it in lots of bookshops in Melbourne, so
yes,
it should be in any good bookshop. Look out for it. It's The Venetian Republic. It's edible history, if you like, yes. And the recipes really are delicious. I've tried a couple of them. I love the Prosecco risotto in particular.
Yeah, that seems to be a very popular
winner.
Dish.
Yeah.
Lots of people are already cooking it, which surprised me, actually, but everyone's really, it's been a biggie.
Yeah, well, it's one of the things you can make the risotto and have a glass at the same time.
You can do that, definitely do that. What's the golden rule? You shouldn't drink more than you're putting into your food when you're cooking. I'm not sure about that one. I don't subscribe to that rule.
Well, if it's not good enough to drink, it's not good enough to cook with. That's my rule.
That's true too.
Nino Zoccali, thank you so much for talking to us here at Travel Writers Radio, and we wish you well.
Thank you very much.
Rita Ehrlich there, speaking with chef and author Nino Zoccali about his new book, Venetian Republic, which is published by Murdoch Books.